There's nothing in this world. There's not a drug, there's not an alcohol, there's not an experience in this world that can measure up to the experience of feeling the presence of God. Amen? The reason is because this is why you were created, to live and dwell among His presence and His presence to be in you. Amen? This isn't just an external thing, but this is something on the inside of us that's real and true. So just continue to pray. Let's be praying for the church. If you would go to the book of John chapter 7, the book of John chapter 7, and just going to try to obey the Lord. I do trust you've come to hear the Word of God this morning. I feel like God's given us some direction earlier this week, and just want to be obedient to Him. Amen. John chapter 7. And like I said, right after service is our fellowship dinner, and I'd love for everybody to stay and be a part of that if you can. Amen. John chapter 7. And if you get there, just give me a good amen. Amen. I believe everybody's just about there. John chapter 7. I'm going to read verses 16 through 18. And this is what it says. Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine own, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." Verse 17, I'm going to read that again. If any man will do his will, talking about the Heavenly Father's will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Amen? I want to preach today just for a few moments, if you'll just give me a few moments of your time. I want to preach to you on the revealed will of God versus the unique will of God. The revealed will of God versus the unique will of God. Amen? I do trust today that everybody that is in this room is underneath the fact that your purpose in this life is to do the will of God. Amen. If you are a Christian and your desire is not to do the will of God, I don't know if you can be a Christian. Because when you get saved, that transition and that change in your life is no longer are you living for self, but you are now living for the will of the Heavenly Father. Now, we must understand this today because the question instantly pops up in our mind, how can I find the will of God? Has anybody ever asked that question other than Derek Jones? Amen. Maybe you ask the question, how can I be sure that I'm walking in His will for my life? Many times, again, I've asked myself this question. And you even at times have found yourself asking these questions and you find the will of God and the topic of the will of God, probably one of the most confusing things that you have ever dealt with. I mean, if it's from trying to find out who to marry, trying to find out what to do, what church to attend, I mean, what God wants you to do in life, many of us wrestle with this principle in life, what is the will of God for my life? And how can I do it? How can I be faithful in doing so? Now, I'm not bragging and saying this, but I have been blessed to be raised in a certain fellowship that, look, they may not have been able to tell you a lot about Hebrew and Greek. I'm telling you, they didn't know a lot about dates. They didn't know a lot about maybe the structure of context of certain verses in the Bible. But I tell you one thing that was instilled in me. You don't do anything unless it's the will of God. I mean, my pastor would drill that enough in me that when I knew that I was wrestling with it, it would frustrate me because it would drive me to my knees. I mean, if you started dating a girl, he'd come to you and he'd say, "Hey, Derek, is it the will of God or not?" And a lot of times, not a lot of times, forgive me, but a few times I say, I don't know, I'm still trying. They say, "Have you prayed about it to the place that you know that's the direction God wants you to go?" I mean, it's just amazing. Look, there may have been some thoughts we had with each other, but this was one thing. They told me this. They stressed the fact is this, that you need to do the will of God, and they each will. Notice this, there's the idea of an action there. It's not merely a desire without action, but he's saying if somebody really wants to do the will of God, notice this, to do His will, he shall know of the the doctrine, talking about the doctrine of truth, talking about the will of God. I'm telling you, my friend, if there's something inside of you, if there is a will to do the will of God, God is going to reveal truth to your heart. If you really desire to know His will, it may be a mystery at times, and you may not understand everything, you may not even like it at times, but if you really will to do His will, I believe with a sincere heart, God is going to show you the truth and guide you. So notice this. In other words, this applies to anybody who really wants to do the will of God. Now notice this, my friend. This is something we must understand, because we are living in an age, my friend, where there's so many self-willed preachers. I can find the churches within our communities who preach self-will more than they do God's will. They preach to do the will of man more than they do the will of God. Now understand this, that when we're doing this in our lives, there's no shortage of this type of preacher who will tell you do exactly what you want. Be happy yourself. And they paint this picture of visions of happiness all the time, where your future is playing out just like you planned, where everything's just perfect financially, where everything's just beautiful with the bow on top. That's not always the will of God. You know, it's amazing that if you ever have the chance, I wouldn't call it an opportunity, but look at some preaching on TV or something. It's a shame. You know, you send me $1,000 and I'll give you 10. You know, God, you know, you help me buy my jet. It's a shame that it's always a promotion of self-will within this. Now notice this. That how I've wondered at times, I've been in certain arenas and wondered how people could sit underneath this type of ministry. They wanted the finances and the sphere of influence to be increased. They wanted everything about them. And matter of fact, their prayer is not Lord, thy will be done, but Lord, my will be done. That is what the prayer, and what their center of focus really is. And there's a certain pattern in their lives that when people do their own will, this is the pattern that takes place in their life. The first thing that comes into their life is doctrinal confusion. They will find out that's not what the Bible teaches. There becomes an ultimate doctrinal confusion that eventually is followed by an inability to discern what is left and right, what is right and wrong. Hear me today, my friend. You may not think it's instantly dangerous to be underneath the influence of self-will ministries, but I'm telling you, the more that you listen to that, and the more that you're made and motivated by that, you find yourself falling into doctrinal confusion, and then you get to the place that you couldn't tell the truth from right and wrong if your heart depended on it, your life depended on it. I'm telling you, friend, the sheep have to learn His voice. We've got to pray and seek God to know His will, and you've got to be practicing that within your life. Now, I know there's messages I like to preach that will make you smile the whole time. Look good on the CD too if you write it up there. But these messages are needed. How many people are sitting in churches do not know the will of God for their lives? Well, think about it. I want you to analyze yourself. How many decisions have you made in your past? I know you cannot change it now, but you probably can recognize, I should have prayed more here. I should have prayed more there. You should have done that. Notice that when people fall into this position where they cannot discern truth, and then all of a sudden the prayers go unanswered, they come to the conclusion that God doesn't speak to them anymore. And so you just do what you want. Now look at this thing, my friend. I want to describe to you the revealed will of God versus the unique will of God. We must first distinguish between the two. What is the differences between them? Notice this. One of the things you've got to understand about the revealed will of God is this. The revealed will of God is a practical part of His will. That which all of us collectively are called to do. There's some things in this room today that only you are called to do, but there's a lot of things in this room today all of us are called to do. You ever read the Bible? Welcome to the will of God. You ever prayed? Welcome to the will of God. You ever desired to go to heaven? Welcome to the will of God. You ever decided, look, I don't want to go to hell? Welcome to the will of God. You ever decided, look, God, I need to be faithful? You understand what I'm saying? It's very practical. It's things that make sense to us. It's things that we read in the Word. Where do you find it? You go searching all over the place in the Bible. It's right there. You don't have to go on a 40-day fast to find that out. Some people are trying to fast and pray for something God's Word already tells us about. Don't sit there and say, I'm waiting for God. I'm waiting for God to speak to me if I shouldn't do this no more. When the Bible said don't do it, and they're still fasting and praying, God's already spoken about it. He said, I wait for God to speak. He already has. Read His Bible. There's a lot of things God said. A lot of things God has already revealed to humanity. Notice this. We read in the Bible, Peter says this, and the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So notice this. God desires that everyone would know His love, grace, and forgiveness, and that nobody would go to hell, and everybody would be saved. That's His will. So is it the will of God for you to be saved? Shout on. Praise God. Amen. Yes, it is. You ain't got to sit in the service and say, shut up. Yes, you should pray and get your heart right with God. It doesn't take a preacher laying hands on you. It doesn't take anybody on TV telling you that. I'll tell you right now, the Word of God says it. That is the revealed Word of God. You can rest assured He wants you to be saved. He left for your children, your grandchildren, your cousins, everybody, the drug addict, the drunkard. He wants them to get born again. That is the will of God. So guess what? That is the relevant and the revealed will of God. Notice this. The Bible also says, Paul says this, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. So once again, there we have, this is something our generation needs to understand. God wants you to live a good and clean life. Hey, a man had a guy tell me one time, I'm praying about leaving my wife. I said, I'll tell you right now, slow down. Give you a little advice. Unless the situation is unsalvageable and she's doing horrible things. And this, I understand their situations are uninhabitable. I know that. But what he was talking about was some of the silliest stuff. I said, I'm going to save you a lot of words and air. I said, you need to make it right with your wife. Well, she's getting jealous. I said, she has every right to be jealous. I said, that ain't your wife, and she is. You know what? I didn't have to go on a 3-day fast for that. You know, I didn't have lightning and thunder strike me underneath inspiration. That wasn't a gift of the Spirit. That was just reading the Bible. You see what I'm saying, friends? Sometimes we're looking for something so spectacular and so unique, which that is a part of it. We'll talk about that. We're waiting for, like lightning bolts to strike all around us. We're waiting to be taken up into the third heaven with Paul about things that's already been transcribed to us and given to us, my friend. It is the will of God for you to live above this world. It is the will of God for your hearts to be purified and cleansed. It is the will of God for us to live sanctified life. That is the will of God. And it's something that you're striving and your prayer life and your reading and your walk should be geared towards. You ain't got to fast for that. It's the will of God. We read the Bible. Peter also says this when he's preaching. Peter said, repent, be baptized. Everyone in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Say amen to sanctification. Say amen to that. It's the will of God that all of us experience the fullness of God's Spirit. That baptism. So, that's not a new revelation. You ain't got to fast 40 days to understand that. You read the Bible, should instantly maintain your posture to the position that that's my goal. That is where I'm going. It's the will of God for me to be saved, sanctified, and filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Quit asking God if you need it. Yes, you do. Is that the Bible? Amen. Shout on there too. It's the truth. We look at this. The baptism. These things are for us. Paul said this. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Notice this. In everything give thanks, which means you ought to give thanks for your home that you're in, the marriage you are in, the job that you have, the family that you're part of, etc., etc., etc. Quit asking God to get you out of it and help God live in it. God can help you, my friend. It's the will of God that your marriage work out. It's the will of God that you live a good life on the job. It's the will of God that you are thankful about your vehicle. It is the will of God that you are thankful about your home. That is the will of God. Be thankful. It doesn't take a divine revelation to be thankful. It should take you waking up and breathing a little bit. And saying, look, I've got breath in my body. Thank you, Lord. You know, I got out of bed today. Thank you, Lord. So learn to be thankful. I mean, some people are constantly praying to get out of something. My friend, but hear me today. God's will is this, that you learn to give thanks where you are, and you're going to learn to win the victory where He has placed you, no matter where that is. Sometimes you want God to get you out of place, and God wants you to get victory in that place. You want God to, you know, you want God to automatically just transport you somewhere else. I've told this before, but how many people leave churches just simply because of this one fact? Lord, it's just, I can't know what it is. You can press in. Be thankful. Had a guy tell me one time, he texted me, he said, I'm leaving this church because I'm not being fed. I said, you're leaving because you won't eat. You're leaving because you won't eat. My friend, if God has you at Abundant Life Tabernacle, be thankful while you're here. God moves you elsewhere. Be thankful where you are. Be thankful if God has you on a foreign mission field. Be thankful because, hear me, if you've got an ungrateful spirit here, you'll find an ungrateful spirit somewhere else. It's the truth. We looked at this. We must understand. Paul says this, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Guess what? It's the will of God for you to love each other in marriage. It's not a special revelation once again. You know, it says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. That bar is set pretty high. You know, like one guy said, he said, and Paul wasn't even married when he said that. Amen. But how much did Christ love the church? He died for it. How much did Christ love the church? He came for it. He died for it. Hear me. So notice this. These verses are the will of God for your home. You know, God, they might make you feel special in some sense. But you know God has a will for you, but God has a will for your home. What's God's will for your home? I'll tell you what it is. Husbands, love your wife. Wives? Be subject. That's not a diminishing term, but it's respect the husband. Be friends to him. Be a helpmate. That doesn't mean he's got to sit there and have a right where you can't. No, that's not the case. But there's ways in your relationship that you can love each other. You know what pushes each other's buttons. And guess what? Get rid of the buttons and quit pushing them. You've got to learn. That's the will of God. You've got to learn to love each other. Look, I know this. This is the will of God. You don't have to pray about that. That's a fact. We can look on, and basically the summary of the revealed will of God is this. It's the will of God that we be loyal and dependable. How many know that's important as a Christian? And guess what? That we do not quit when things do not go right. That we ought to be loyal even in our workplace as an employee. We ought to be helpful, be concerned about others. Reach outside your own sphere. Try to reach others for Jesus Christ, my friend. To be ye doers of the words and that of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. That is the revealed will of God. It's in the Bible. And that's why we should read it every day. And not just read it, but do it every single day. And guess what you're doing? The will of God when you're doing that. Now we look at this and understand as we move in now to the unique will of God. The unique will of God is something that is very unique as well. Notice this. Often while we are doing the revealed will of God, the unique will of God just seems to start to find us. Do you know there's been quite a few times in ministry that I didn't ask God to be a pastor of this church. I did. I wasn't sitting all of a sudden one day. I didn't even know you were here. If you had told me there was another holiness church within an hour and a half, I said, I ain't never heard of it. I thought Virginia was the land of the reprobates. And that's a joke, really. But what I'm saying is, I've told people before, I said, man, there ain't another holiness church within 5 hours of where we were. I said, yeah, I said, you know, you can go down to my wife's area, but I said, anything above that line, there's one or two churches that I know of, but I mean, you know, there's nothing there. So it ain't like one day I woke up and said, I want to be there. No, it was the will of God. Now notice this, when you're doing the revealed will of God, notice this, this is something you've got to understand. The unique will of God is something that God will deposit into your heart. Many times when God revealed His will to me, I cringed at my inability and at times didn't want to do it at first. There's been a few times when God dealt with my heart on something. To do something, I'm not talking about something the Bible already says, but something that was going to take me completely out of my comfort zone. I looked at it, I said, there's no way. I cannot do that. Now look at this, my friend. I want you to understand this. I never asked God to preach this gospel. I never asked Him. He called me. How did He call you? I got saved, and I forsook the world to the best of my ability. All I knew at that time, I was praying, and I was fasting. Why? Because I know the Bible talks about those things, and that's what we should do.
And I thought before, I thought, sure, I said, that works for, it was something, sounds like it works. Jesus said it. You know, let's do this. And while I was doing the revealed will of God, the unique will of God found me. Where did it find me at? Praying behind a pulpit like this? I can't even get in that position to pray anymore. I'd probably catch a cramp. I was bowed up. I was praying. I was crying. And God said to me, I've called you to preach. Like I told it before, I ran out the building, thought I was schizophrenic. And I remember going to my pastor and I said, look, I think I'm called to preach. Like I said, he said, good, get the Holy Ghost and we'll let you. If it's the will of God, it'll all be confirmed and all that. I'm telling you, friends, that's how it happened. I didn't ask God to preach. Even afterwards, I said, God, are you 100% sure you want me to preach? You know, you get it, you know, and then after you get the Holy Ghost, I got the Holy Ghost that month, and Brother Irvin said, all right, you're preaching Wednesday. I said, that's 3 days from now. I knew Jesus died, no one built an ark, but that was about the extent of it. So you read your Bible and you get what God gives you. And even I, there's a few things I preach now. I said, man, I don't know how correct that was theologically, but I know it felt good to preach. I'm telling you, you learn, my friend. God teaches you, but I never asked God to do that. God saw me doing His revealed will, and He showed me His unique will. I never asked God to quit my job and go full-time in ministry. I never asked for that. God showed that to me. You can ask my wife. We were married maybe, I forget how long, maybe a month or two. And I had a room I would go pray in at night. And I remember going into that room and praying. And I said, God, I said, now, you know, and I wish I understood it all then. But I said, Lord, I said, I need to know Your will for my life. I know this. I was going to church faithfully. I mean, I was paying my tithes. I was being faithful to Wednesday night. I was being faithful to Sunday services. I was being faithful to the nursing home. And I mean, I was just praying. I was just simply being a revealed will of God Christian, doing, being a faithful, loyal believer at a local church. I've been called to preach and live. I was teaching a Sunday school class. I was doing my best there. I was praying, God, what do You want me to do? And God spoke to me again. There's only a few times in my life so directly. He said, be faithful for a year and I will show you. You can ask my wife. I walked out the bedroom. I said, I prayed. I feel like I know what God wants me to do. What is it? He wants me to be faithful for 1 year, doing what I'm doing right now. And He said, speak to me again. Guess what? About 9 months later, getting close to a year, I was riding in a church truck with a preacher. And he said, would you go to Africa? Would you preach a little bit in Africa? We need to help you get there. And I said, good. I said, I'll pray about it. I said, and all of a sudden, I remember getting down and praying. And guess what? It's getting close to a year. God spoke to me and said, quit your job and go. I wish I understood it all. All I was doing was the revealed word of God. I was just being faithful to my local church. I was just simply doing what God... I was not fasting for that. I was just fasting in general. I was fasting because I was a Christian. I was praying because I was a Christian. I was reading because I was a Christian. It didn't take nothing. I was just being a Christian. Because that's the will of God. And then the unique will of God says, do this. I wish that I jumped up and down. I cried. I told my wife, she didn't jump up and down, she cried. And then the day I had to quit my job, I said, Lord, are You sure? And my friend, I didn't understand it all then, and guess what? I'm still learning the will of God now, but I know this, that I've never been forsaken, I've never been begging bread, and guess what? God's will has worked out. You said, what'd you do when you went to Africa? I stayed a Christian. I didn't go to Africa. Looking to turn it upside down. I was going there simply to preach and be a Christian and do the revealed will of God in my life. If God cannot trust you to do the revealed will of God, do not ever expect Him to trust you with the unique will of God. Some of you struggling, should you be in church or not? Quit asking God to send you somewhere and do something for Him. Won't you be faithful right here and do what God needs you to do? Some of you may be asking God, Lord, I want to do something great for You. I want this. Quit asking God to do this and that and ask God to help you live His Word, and His unique will be revealed to you. I never asked God to evangelize a little bit of time we did. But guess what? I was just being a Christian. And it happened. I never asked God to come to abundant life until after He put it into my heart. Where were you at? I will tell you. I was in Texas. What's the name of that little town in Texas? Tatum, Texas. Couldn't tell you how to get there, but God knew where it was. I didn't have a clue who you were. I've never seen your face, and I've never seen this church. All I know is Brother Israel preached a revival somewhere. There's another Holiness church an hour and a half away. And I said, well, maybe we'll visit. Maybe Brother Israel was preaching there sometime and all that. And all of a sudden, you can ask my wife. I came back. I said, I cannot describe this. I said, but that church is somehow is lodged in my spirit. I said, all I can tell you to do is pray. I didn't know you existed and didn't talk to you on those lines until November, 7 or 8 months later. What happened? I was doing the revealed will of God, and He showed me the unique will of God. Do you see what I'm saying tonight? We need to understand that we first must do this. First thing is first. You've got to come back to your first love if you need to. Open the Word of God. Begin to read it. Don't live in an illusion that one day this mystical will of God will fall into your lap while you're choosing to ignore the revealed will of God. Do what God wants you to do now, and He'll trust you with more later. We look at these things. We must understand. Peter says this, and so it is the will of God that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. This is the will of God. Doing good, speaking the truth, my friend. We must understand that all the ignorance, when they look at us, it will put everything else to rest, and you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. When you're in the will of God, nothing can touch you. Let people talk about you. If I'm in the will of God, I could care less what anybody thinks. The only time somebody's words bothered me is when I knew I was not in the will of God, because they were telling the truth. When I'm in the will of God, I say this. I believe the believer is, in a sense, invincible. Not invincible as far as some superhero. But you show me, I believe I have enough faith to believe today that if something happened to me and I died today, that God had a will in it. I believe that. I hope you would. Because the will of God is that important in our lives. Ephesians 6 and 6. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Is the will of God in your heart? Is the Word of God in your heart? If you're going to do the will of God, it's got to be in your heart. Like I said, it's not always been pleasant. It's not always been a bed of roses. Not always been something I desire to do. But I want to encourage you today. Ask God for the will to do His will. I'm going to say it again. Ask God for the will to do His will. Read the Word. Somebody ever read the Bible and found out an area they need to grow in? You ain't got to pray about that. Grow. Show me a believer that does not read the Bible. I'll show you a believer that does not do the will of God. And I'll show you somebody that's probably not going to be a believer very long. You fall away from it. Because you should joy to do. How critical is the will of God? I'll say this. I'm about to be quiet. When Jesus' mother and family come looking for Him, and they came to Jesus and said, your mother and your brothers are looking for you. Jesus says, who is my mother and my brothers? He looked at his disciples and says, these that do the will of God is my family. Guess what, church? If you're not doing the will of God, you're not a part of the family of Jesus. That's why it's so important. I'm not preaching this message to discourage. I'm preaching this message to encourage. Because I honestly believe that some in here did not know, they never knew that. You're trying to do the unique will without doing the revealed will. And you're just spinning your tires. You're frustrated. I'm telling you, be faithful. God's calling in His Word, I promise you will be happy. As my wife comes to the piano, I thought about this as I'm about to close, and I'm not going to be much longer, but just in my mind, let's consider don't never consider anything too small. I recall, many of you don't know where I'm from really, but Edenton, many of you know where that area is, some of you do. But our church is a little pine board church, tongue and groove wood, back in the middle of nowhere. I'm telling you, a gas station, we've got a stoplight about so many miles up the road that way. I never thought in my whole life that I'd be pastoring a church. I remember going in my wife's area at that time, so many holiness churches. I remember begging God, I wish they'd asked me to preach just one time. After you preach a few meetings there, you're humble, not prideful, but you're humble. And say, God, I don't understand, but your will. Has anybody noticed the will of God in their own life? It's just come together. I mean, piece by piece, thing by thing. You notice that I believe it's the will of God for you to be here this morning. I believe it's the will of God that you hear about the will of God in this message. I believe in the will of God. What is the revealed will of God? I'll tell you what it is. I'm going to give you the best advice. Faithfulness. Faithfulness in leading, faithfulness in doing, faithfulness in church attendance. I remember some of the greatest blessings I had just being a lay minister in a small church. I remember some of the greatest blessings I had by just simply being faithful. Cutting the grass was a great time to talk to the Lord at the old church plant. Had trees, I mean, the roots, you have to understand. The roots were revealed, and then trees where you couldn't get over it with a riding mower. I'm talking about humongous trees. You'd have to weed eat almost like half an acre between roots. Guess what? Just simply being faithful. I never asked to do anything for God. Of course, you don't underestimate me or misunderstand me. But I did ask to be used. But I didn't understand how to. God, teach me. How many would say, God, teach me your will? I want to be taught His will. Can we stand our feet all over this building? I wrestled in my spirit about preaching. You know, it just seems so simple. Many of you may have already known this stuff. But I want somebody today. We're not going to linger long. We're not going to really come to the altars unless you're filling your spirit. You need to.